office suites, there's no reason to hold back anymore. And there's no reason to tell people that the GNU/Linux system is only for servers, it's not for them. Anyone who values freedom can now switch to using a computer in freedom. You may occasionally have to make some sacrifice. There may be this or that that you can't do yet. But freedom, I think, is worth occasional small sacrifices. And when we think of institutional users, for them it's even easier, because with the money that they save by not having to pay for permission to run the system, because a free system means you can redistribute copies to anyone, and anyone is free to install it. So there's no need to get permission from someone. And practically speaking, this means that institutions can save a lot of money. And with the money they save, they can afford to pay some local programmers to develop whatever software is currently missing. There's a university in Brazil that did this, a technical university called Univates. They decided to switch to GNU/Linux, but there were a few specialized programs they needed that didn't exist in the free software world. So they decided that with the money they saved on license fees, they could pay programmers to write this free software. And they developed a free program to run the university library. They developed a free program to run the university bookstore. They developed a free document management program to keep track of all the reports that the government requires the university to file every year, and various other free programs to do the jobs that they needed. If they were able to do this, you can do this. And larger institutions, such as governments, will find it even easier. Because the more users you have per program, the easier it is to fund the development, the smaller fraction that will be of your general expenses. If an organization as small as one university can do this, the government of any country or region can do it easily. So, there is no reason to hesitate now before escaping from the grip of user subjugating software. However, about 14 years ago, I became aware of something that threatened to prohibit the work of us free software developers, and also threatens all other programmers and every computer user. I'm talking about software idea patents, which started in the US around 1982, but it took around 1990 before most programmers there became aware of what was happening already. What was happening was patenting software ideas, not patenting programs. Many people get confused. They hear the term software patents, and they think it's a matter of patenting individual programs. Well, if it were possible to patent an individual program, it would make no difference. So nobody would bother to do it, and we wouldn't be fighting against it. It would just be ignored. But the problem with these patents is they don't cover a whole program. They cover an idea, which is something that describes just a part of the program. And parts of lots of other programs, too, are the same idea. For instance, please forgive me. I just can't resist. For instance, if you look at the very informative FFII poster, you'll see a bunch of ideas listed here. Ideas that you could find implemented in a lot of web servers. And these ideas are patented. happens is not about a specific program to implement the idea. It doesn't matter what program implements the idea, it's prohibited no matter what. The patent is an absolute monopoly on the use of the idea that is described in it. So if there's a patent on one aspect of JPEG files, nobody is allowed to implement JPEG files. And the patent lasts for 20 years, which in our field is a long time. 20 years ago, there was no World Wide Web. The internet was just barely getting started.
Thank you.